all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... This week on Alt Mode, we review Transformers War's End number 1 from IDW Publishing, and then go over the ton of final guests that have been announced for TFCon LA. Today is Friday, March 11th, 2022, and this is episode 276 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's here for the Transformers War's End before it's begun. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
How are you now?
Let's talk Transformers.
As always, we start the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for continuing to help us out and support the show. And you've got some merchandise coming to you very soon in the higher level Patreon tiers. That merchandise should be going out in the next month or so. So look forward to that. Look for that and enjoy. That's just one of the perks of being a Donatron at a sufficiently high level. And of course, our Transformers Live Play RPG podcast, Empire of Rust, continues. This Monday, we'll have episode 71, The Phantom Magnum. And this is the regular episode for everyone to listen to, published in the free feed, transmissionspodcast.com/rust. You can check out that awesome RPG podcast, the first and only Transformers Live Play RPG podcast. And all the fun stuff, shenanigans those characters get up to, all managed expertly by our own editor and producer, Mike. All right, let's start the show with a little bit of comics news. So just one piece of comics news. We've got a cover by, or two covers. We've got the cover B and the retailer incentive cover for War's End issue 2, which should be coming later this month. And this is art by Red Powell and Fico Asio. So two separate covers. So just a tease of what is coming up in War's End. So these covers feature Soundwave and I think that's Sunstorm. We'll find out. All right, that's all the comics news, so we're going to move right into our comic review.
Right, and this week we are talking about Transformers War's End number 1, and this is written by Brian Ruckley, art by Jack Lawrence, inks by Matt Frost, colors by John Paul Bove and Priscilla Tremontano, letters by Jake M. Wood, editor Riley Farmer, supervising editors are David Marriott and Tom Waltz. There are four covers, actually. Cover A has Shockwave, Megatron, and Skywarp. This is by Engel Fernandez and Frank Gamboa. Cover B has X-Archon battling the Autobots. This is by Freddie E. Williams II and Andrew Dollhouse. Retailer Incentive has X-Archon and Landmine battling. This is by EJ Sue. An online exclusive from the IDW online store is Cyclonus requesting hit an audience with Megatron. And this is by Diego Zuniga and Sid Van Blue. So, Charles, let's start with you. Which one of these three do you like?
Four, right?
Which one of these four do you like?
I think I'm going to go with the Freddie Williams cover. So, Freddie Williams and colors by Andrew Dollhouse, I like the image there. Deathsaurus looks very scary there. And, we've got, Geomotus, Landmine and, Zatar, I think. And then I don't know who the fourth guy is there. Is that the Time Bot guy? The Timekeeper guy?
I have Landmine, Geomotus, Zatar, Sure Shock, and Point Blank for the butts in that scene.
So, well, it's not Sure Shot or Point Blank because he's not the wrong color.
I think it's the time guy too. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it does kind of look like it on his chest.
So yeah, so he's not in the issue, but otherwise I think it's a good cover. So I like it. I like Freddie Williams' style.
Cool. Daryl, which do you like?
Well, I am going to go with the one that I bought, which is the RI cover by EJ Sue. When I got to the shop on Wednesday, all three of the covers were there. Obviously the fourth is the online exclusive. I couldn't pick from that, but I sat there and I kind of looked through them all and I thought, you know what, I'm going to spring for the RI. So I kind of had my own, choice of which covers to pick from while I was standing there at the store. So I decided right there which one I was going to pick on the show. So yeah, I really like the look of it. And like I said, on trips to the store on Wednesday, the color palette is just, it's kind of lighter than a general cover. So it really just kind of looks like it's kind of colored in pencil crayon. I don't know. It's a little different, but I really do like the way that the bots are drawn on the cover and yeah, EJ Sue for the win.
Yeah, I think that's the one I would choose too. It shows how much coloring can make a difference. Like if you look at EJ Sue's art with traditional coloring, it just, it looks more like a comic, and this, it looks more like, just a piece of art that you would see on the wall. I mean, I don't know if it's watercolor or like you suggested, maybe some sort of like crayon pencils or something, but it just has that look that is not traditional comic art and looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get into the story here. It starts off with Landmine, Geomotus, Zetar, Sure Shot, and Point Blank making their way through the Sonic Canyons. Sure Shot and Point Blank have reservations about leaving Crystal City while the rest of the Autobots are getting ready for the coming Decepticon assault. However, Landmine reminds the group that Optimus Prime and Pyro Magna sent them on this vital mission to look for anything that could be connected to Exarchon, who might have hidden something there in the past. Elsewhere, Exarchon's story is being told. When the war was over and it was believed that he was dead, but he's not like the rest of Cybertron, and he had traded one almost dead husk to one that was slightly less almost dead, and he was able to persist. However, there was an explosion and he was buried in rubble, so he waited in stasis until the body was found. In the present, Skywarp is still having trouble believing this whole story, but Shockwave is convinced. However, much has changed, and Megatron has a massive plan unfolding at the moment that seems to be on its way towards success. However, Exarchon isn't worried. He plans on using the fight between the Autobots and Decepticons to weaken Cybertron before he takes advantage and wipes them all out. Outside of Decepticon headquarters, Rough Stuff and Gut Cruncher are comparing their complaints about working for Swindle when Cyclonus approaches, demanding an audience with Megatron. The two guards just think he's a crazy bot, and they don't just let anyone in to see Megatron, so Cyclonus beats them down easily before Sixshot opens the door and stops them. Again, he demands an audience because he needs to talk about Exarchon's return. Back in the Sonic Canyons, Geomotus is scanning for anything that might be hidden, but he accidentally triggers an ancient defense system. The Autobots are suddenly taking fire from cannons that are popping up all around them, and seeing no other option, they jump down from the cliff, hoping that they survive the fall. Back in Iacon, Megatron is unimpressed with Cyclonus' warnings. He's holding Provoke's severed head, and Megatron thinks that all of this is clearly a distraction from his plan. But surprisingly, it's Sixshot that stands up for Cyclonus. The points he's making do add up. Ruckus Ruckus's body was found in Swindles, and Deathsaurus did break out from the rubble as well. And Cyclonus is even more convinced after hearing about Deathsaurus. He needs to find all of the bodies that are related to Exarchon. Starscream speaks up and suggests that this could be an opportunity to unite the citizens, to unite the citizenry against the that are currently against the Decepticon movement. If they can find and defeat an enemy that's that threatens all of Cybertron, even if they don't necessarily believe that Exarchon is really back, the propaganda wins would be immense. At the same time, Exarchon is letting Shockwave know about some hidden facilities he had in the Sonic Canyons. He didn't tell Shockwave about these during the war, and Shockwave is surprised that he wasn't fully trusted, but Exarchon didn't see it that way. He gave Shockwave just enough to unlock the secrets he was looking for, but now there are more that can be unlocked. Skywarp asks Soundblaster if he's buying any of this. Soundblaster was created using the research that Shockwave had uncovered, and he's loyal to both Shockwave and Exarchon. The Compaticons are also on board with the plan. They see a winning side, and they want to be on it. Skywarp is just getting frustrated, and he leaves them all to do what they want, and he teleports away. Skywarp, though, doesn't matter to Exarchon. The Autobots are already in the Sonic Canyon, and so is he. As we see that surviving the fall, the Autobots are there examining their surroundings. They see a large circular section that looks to be containing a pit, but it's camouflaged and shielded, and they see no way of opening it. Zizhar tries to drill in from an angle, but as he does, the circular door opens, and Exarchon in Death Source's body emerges. Be continued. I thought this was a pretty good first setup book. I actually had to go back and reread what was going on in the main storyline to kind of see where it goes. This is kind of concurrent with Transformers number 40, I believe, or like right around the same time. But I thought this was really good setup. We're finally getting a lot of the Exarchon stuff, and being a mini series, I'm hoping it pays off a lot faster than what we've been getting in the main series, even though that's also sort of picking up. But I really enjoyed this. I'm pretty interested in the Exarchon stuff, especially how it relates to Cyclonus, and, just kind of seeing how all of these come together. I will be very upset if Geomotus dies after how the series started with Rubble and Rubble dying. It just seems, I don't know, it just seems cruel to create a character like Geomotus, spend all this time building him up, and then killing him. But we'll see where that goes. I do like having Deathsaurus as this major threat. I guess now it's Exarchon, but the Deathsaurus body. The art I thought was really good. You know, Jack Lawrence is a great artist. I'm not sure. You know, we have a dedicated inker on this issue, and I'm not, like, I guess, well-versed enough to tell like the improvements that a dedicated inker can make over someone inking their own work. I mean, I thought the lines were nice and clear and everything, but you know, to me, I can't tell between that and just an artist doing their own thing. But I thought it was the art was really good. The colors were great throughout. I honestly couldn't tell who did what in terms of JP or Priscilla. But that's probably good because it blended so well. So yeah, the series looks to be pretty good. Daryl, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on the book?
Well, I thought the book was pretty good. for a start book, right? Like, yeah, end up closing my review copy here. Give me a sec. But I really did like a lot of the points that were touched on here. The one thing that the book started off with, and you kind of made mention of it there, I didn't know whether this book took place before or after number 40. And there was only one little blurb about it where it was kind of like annotated that these events, take place in issue 40 that were being mentioned. And so that made me think, should I have read number 40 first? Because I've yet to read number 40. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm missing some bits of the story here. So I didn't go back and read number 40 just to kind of, give myself a bit of a background on it. I like to have, the books fresh in my mind when I read them for the show. As far as this book goes, the art was good. And I probably should have mentioned this, a while ago, because, Cyclonus has been such a major character in the book the last little while, but I really wish they would have updated his design. I know it probably doesn't fit with the character, and that he's probably pretty happy as a character to be, in his body, but this Combiner Wars Cyclonus design is just terrible. And I wish that they would have, updated it, figured out a way to update it somehow.
They have Kingdom Cyclonus, don't they?
I know, right? Like, come on, give him a better body here. As far as the story goes here, I liked it. They, have this team off doing the surveying and whatnot, because there's something going on in this cavern or this, that they want to find out about, and they've got Geomotus, and I'd like Geomotus as a character. He's got a purpose, and he's dedicated to that purpose, and that's very cool. I did like the quick, very brief little fight with Cyclonus and the guards, just because I thought, these guys are idiots, and Cyclonus, like I mentioned on the last review of the main title, Cyclonus is motivated now. And we're going to see a very motivated Cyclonus, and you don't want to be in his way. So, yeah. The one thing that did kind of stick out with me, and that kind of pulled me out of it, because I had to figure out whether I was looking at the same figure or the same character twice, separated by like a few panels, because they're on two separate pages, but the pages are in sequential order. You have Soundwave on one page, and the next page you have Sound Blaster, and that threw me. To have both of these characters in the same book, mind you, is one thing, but to have them on sequential pages from each other, that definitely kind of threw me. Now obviously the coloring is different, but it's subtle. The coloring is quite subtle in this book, so I can definitely see how people would read this and think, why is Soundwave in two different places? Or, okay, well, he called himself Sound Blaster. Why is Sound Blaster in two places? Oh, wait, he's not. And then, it completely takes you out of the book if you get caught by it. So yeah, I definitely, I don't know, going back, I probably, if I had my way, I probably would have eliminated one of the characters out of here. It sounds like Sound Blaster's got a little bit more of a part to play in this. So maybe Soundwave doesn't need to be in this book. But whatever. But all in all, I like the way that this kind of started. Deathsaurus still, I mean, I think this is the second time they've ended a book with just the Deathsaurus reveal. We'll see if they do it a third time, but at some point they're going to have to give it up and just have Deathsaurus just rain terror down on some characters, right? So, he's a very threatening and very, nasty character. So, Yeah, I'm in for it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
Awesome. Cool. And Charles, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed this issue. I'm interested to see what the whole XR, how the XRCon storyline shakes out. Of course, I like the lore, curious about what his mysterious benefactors are, like where he got all the power, where how his spark became the threefold spark. Maybe we'll get a little bit of that, but I thought this was a well paced issue. I thought we get a little bit of action with Cyclonus and showing just how badass he is and getting an audience with Megatron and everything. But then we also have the kind of slower start with the Autobots at the Sonic Canyons, and then getting the last reveal at the end with Deathsaurus. So I think I thought it was a well balanced issue, and I thought it held my interest for the whole time, and I'm looking forward to getting through the rest of this and seeing how this definitely has the feel of this, the main book is covering the big battle, the siege of Crystal City, but this is going to be, this seems like kind of a side quest now, but it seems like if they don't stop XRCon, that'll be the end for everyone. So hopefully both the Autobots and Decepticons catch on that XRCon is the real threat, but I guess we'll see.
Right. It is nice giving this its own little mini series rather than trying to figure out how to fit all of that in the main story.
Yeah.
It'll give this a little bit more room to breathe.
Yep.
All right. Great. Well, that is our comic review for this week.
Okay. And we'll move on to media news.
All right, in media news this week, we just got one thing, and that is some concept art from Robbie Musso, who posted it this week for the upcoming show BotBots. So we've got a little bit of art that he put up regarding some of the characters that we'll see in that show, and it's very cool. Robbie's done a lot of work on Transformers over the years and definitely has some experience in the comics as well, but it's nice to see that we've got some concepts on some upcoming stuff for
Actually, looking at it again, I think this is for the toys, not the show. We talked about the before recording and but BotBots is coming soon, so
yeah, it's topical. It might be in the show too. You never know, right?
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of stuff here. I guess the trademark on it is 2018, so it looks like it's been done for a while. So you never know. Some of this stuff might show up in the show, so BotBots, if you want to see some of this stuff gets designed. It's pretty cool. Good job, Robbie.
Okay, and we will move on to convention news.
All right, hold on to your butts because we got a whole bunch of announcements for TFCon LA. Give me 1 second. I get these 14 links open. Got to do beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. First up, we have voice actor Bill Rogers, who was the voice of Wheeljack in the Netflix War for Cybertron series. He will be taking part in a Q&A panel and do autographs signings during the weekend. And then we have J.W. Stafford, who is the voice of Hound in the War for Cybertron series. We'll also be taking part in the Q&A panel and have autograph signings. May Cat, who is a writer on Cyberverse and War for Cybertron Kingdom. Was she also on the new Netflix show, or am I not remembering?
May Cat was, yes. She wrote half of Earthrise and half of
I'm talking about the new Nickelodeon show.
Oh, the new Nickelodeon show.
Was that?
Yes, she is working on the new Nickelodeon show. Yes.
Okay. I was hoping that was announced. I mean, I knew she had hinted to us that she had some more Transformers stuff coming up. I thought my dumb brain was mixing it up. But great. So yeah, so she's going to be working on that new show. She's also going to be on a Q&A panel. So if you're there, ask her what she can talk about on that show. We're all really curious about it. Then we have Ed Bosco, who is the voice of Ultra Magnus in the War for Cybertron trilogy. He was also the voice of Soundwave in the War for Cybertron trilogy. Seems like all of these Netflix voice actors are going to be on a Q&A panel. So I'm not going to say that for each one of them. We have artist Andrew Griffith, who really needs no introduction here. He is going to be there. He'll be having commissions, signing, selling prints. So if you see him, buy stuff from him. I know he's got some really great prints. And just tell him we said hey. And then we have Gene Carr, who was the voice of Black Arachnia in the War for Cybertron Netflix show. Aaron Evers, who was the voice of Airazor, the Netflix War for Cybertron show. Philip Botch, who was the voice of Skytread and voice direction for the Netflix War for Cybertron show. Josh Keaton, who was the voice of Jack Darby and Tailgate in Transformers Prime and the voice of Shiro in Voltron Legendary Defender. And also, he voiced some Marvel spider character. He will be there as well. It looks like he's just doing an autograph session. It didn't say any panels, but you never know. Doug Stone, the voice of Matt Tracker from Mask, will be attending. It looks like he is going to be there on the Sunday. So it looks like they're going to be doing like what other TFCons have done in the past. And Sunday is going to be less strictly Transformers and more just general kind of nostalgia type stuff. So he will be there on Sunday. John Machida Jr., who was the voice of Blur and Punch Counter Punch in G1, and also he's the Micro Machines man. He will be there as well. He will have a Q&A panel and an autograph session, so make sure to check that out. Chris Doc Wyatt, who is the head writer and executive producer of the new BotBot series, will be there as well. And this will be taking place like a week before the show launches, so I'm sure there will be stuff that he says that, might not have been, supposed to have gotten out of, but, I don't know. I'm excited to hear more about this show. He'll have a Q&A panel as well. Let's see. Lori Fasso, who is the voice of Dive Bomb, Orion Pack, Rampage, and Skydive in Transformers G1. He's also Raphael in Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, and he's Tunnel Rat in G.I. Joe. So he will have a Q&A panel and autograph sessions. Aiden Run, who is the voice of Scrapface on the Netflix War for Cybertron shows. And that is it. TFCon LA is just going to have everybody, except us. But that is it for convention news.
Okay, and we will finish up the show with feedback. And we've got a voicemail from Will, friend of the show, Will. I believe he is a Donatron. So, Will, what do you have to say?
Hey, guys, it's Will in the UK, in Scotland, actually. I want to ask you a question, because this week I started watching Beast Wars, and ever since it was first on, I've always been put off by how friggin' ugly it is. And every time I've seen clips, I just thought, ugh, I didn't like the toys. Nothing about it appealed to me except for some of the comics. But for some reason, I sat down to watch it this week, and it's so good. It's so, so good. I love the characters. I love the characters so much, actually, that it's kind of won me over to the designs. And now I want to buy all the figures from Kingdom that I've missed and so on and so forth. Daryl, you should watch it. But my question is there an element of the fandom or a show or a comic or something that you've just stayed away from and then sort of realized quite quickly that you were completely mistaken about it and that you should have been watching it or reading it or whatever this whole time? So is there anything big Transformers-wise that you stayed away from? And I love. Okay, keep up the good work, guys. I'll see you soon.
I think Will is one of our new favorite people, Charles.
So, Will, Daryl, you've got your marching orders directly from Will.
Donatrion, you gotta listen.
And he told you Beast Wars is great. He didn't lie to you. But Will, to your question, at least for me, I can't say I've gone back to it, but what I do hear really good things about that I haven't really dove into and have not really sought out was Rescue Bots. It seems like, I know Rescue Bots, it's for preschoolers, it's for kids, but a lot of Transformers fans have sung the praises of Rescue Bots, the cartoon, and you know, how good it is and how many Transformers references they put in there. So maybe at some point I'll try and check it out, but I haven't gotten to it yet. But Rescue Bot seems to be something that a lot of people are passionate about. What do you think, Daryl? Beast Wars? Getting into Beast Wars now?
I don't know. It's a big commitment, and I'm such a visual guy.
Big.
I'm so visual though. I'm such a visual guy that I can't seem to get past that absolute dog shit animation that it starts off with.
Dog shit.
It's just
25 years old.
Sure. Okay. Well, yes, it's 25 years old. So, you know, I don't like it.
The original Toy Story hasn't aged that well either in terms of
business. It hasn't. No. It hasn't. But
the story's good.
So, yeah. So, you know, I've mentioned it, I don't know how many times on the podcast that, you know, we could have the best freaking comic book writer write Transformers stuff. You know, if it's drawn by me, I wouldn't be able to read it. You know, it's crap. You know, I've got to be able to enjoy watching it. The visuals have to really engage me, you know, to really let the story get through. So if I can't sit there and watch it, then I'm not going to enjoy it. You know, for me though, the answer to this question was animated. I put off animated because it came out when I was, you know, in my early 20s, and I just wasn't into Transformers at the time. And then when I got back into it, they said, "Oh, you got to watch animated. You got to watch animated." And I just was like, I'll come to it eventually. And, you know, and then I finally did, and I just powered right through it. I really enjoyed watching animated. It was good. It was cute and funny, and the animation was decent. You know, it was easy to watch. So I really enjoyed watching, you know, Transformers animated. I can tell you, Will, I can tell you one that I've still am waiting to watch because I just have an aversion to the in my head is all the Japanese G1 stuff. I'm not an anime guy, and I can't read everything, you know, and, you know, yes, people will say, oh, there's a dub version and whatnot, but you know, it's not the same. You gotta read it, or you gotta hear it in the original voices and stuff like that. So in my brain, it just, I get really specific on how I need to experience stuff. So, you know, even the jokey Malaysian dub of Headmasters, I've wanted to kind of watch that because it's kind of, you know, it's kind of bullshit and kind of fun. But I can't sit through it. It's, you know, I need to, and I'm the G1 guy. So, you know, I crave all these old G1 stories and whatnot, but I can't do it. So that's, I think I'd probably force myself to watch the old original G1, Japanese G1 stuff before I'd watch Beast Wars.
All right. Number one Beast Wars fan on the podcast, everyone. Jeremy, how about you? What is there a series that you would like to get into or already got into after initially being put off by it?
Well, I mean, before I give my answer and get kicked off the podcast, I want to maybe say we could put a poll up on Patreon and have our Donatrons vote whether Daryl has to watch Beast Wars or not. But my answer, which Charles is going to probably, you know, hate me forever for, is the G1 comic. I had like one issue, one of the Headmaster issues for years, and that was okay. But every time I like went, you know, like in college and I found the scans of the original series and I would try to read through them, the art in the early issues was just so bad because it was based off of the toy, like the original G1 toys.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get into it. And then when I tried reading some of the later stuff, like the Simon Furman stuff, I'm like, he's writing Optimus Prime so poorly. And I, you know, like, this isn't how Optimus Prime should act, and not having any other context or anything. And this, it actually like ruined my the first time I met Simon Furman at a convention. Like, I was talking to him and he was like such a nice guy, and it just, I'm thankful I didn't say anything, but I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, this is the guy that just doesn't know how to write Optimus Prime. So I'm very thankful that, you know, my wife was there and I didn't actually say any of that out loud. But it wasn't until we started the podcast and I went back and I just read from the first issue and then, you know, made it through all of them. And then I'm like, okay, now I get it. But it was just, you know, it's a combination of objectively bad art in the first couple issues, and just 80s writing, and just, I don't know, not having the time to sit down and just read everything from the beginning with context, that just put me off for years. And I'm glad that I finally went back and did it, and I got it. I understand. I am now, you know, on board with Simon Furman writing, even though I do think he still loves Grimlock a bit too much. Whatever. I mean, but yeah, that would be my answer. Also, I do have a weak spot on all the Japanese animation, just like Daryl said. I have tried the sub version of Headmasters a few times, and I don't know what it is. I just can't get through that either. And I'm a fan of watching sub stuff. It's just, I don't know, hard to get through. So I don't have, I won't say I'll never do it like Daryl is with Beast Wars, but just every time I've tried, I haven't made it through.
Well, you're officially pardoned for the G1 comic. But no, I can understand that. I mean, I definitely can understand with Optimus Prime. Like, Optimus Prime got very emo towards the end of the G1 comic series. And, you know, I do want to keep in mind that the G1 comic series, it is like, you know, nowadays we have Optimus, like, it's kind of a trope that Optimus Prime gets written as kind of this, you know, put upon leader who's got so many burdens. And that was a new thing for the G1 comic. Like that had not that, you right. know, that was a very, it was a contrast to how he was portrayed in the cartoon. So, it did give him a little bit more depth in the comic book. But yeah, I can definitely see that it just having that thrown in cold with no context is could be a little bit jarring.
Right.
But yeah, I am glad that you did go back. And I do remember when you were, because you told us about it when you went back and read through everything and finally finished the G1 comic series. So I'm glad you did go back and you still are a supporter now. So
yeah, those were the days where I had a commute and I basically had like 20 or 30 minutes on the bus every day just to sit there and do nothing. So I can pop through them.
All right. Well, I hope we gave you some good answers to think about, and maybe if other listeners out there want to chime in with their answers or, send us some feedback or, talk about it in Discord when this episode goes up. So yeah, that's a good question. Thanks, Will. Thanks for sending that in. Mm-hmm. And with that, that is the end of this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. So as always, when we get to the end of the show, we give a shout out to all our Masterpiece Donatrions. So thank you to John4X Levengood, Dinobot Maximize, DemonTech82, and Curtis Akon. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the show at our highest level, which is why you get a shout out in every episode. You can also get some merch from our TeePublic store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. Anything you buy from TeePublic through that link will help out the show. So check it out and support Transmissions. And that's it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.